Assalamu alaikum, welcome to Tanya Wide Open at G4. We're holding it class. We're in pair at 6. We started, we touched it last week. So we did 6A, so this is like 6B. But I want to just go off a tangent. That's my pleasure of this class, is we can do what we want. This one is open wide. Inside out was like the opposite, that's the point. So I want us, is this connected? I mean, in truth, it's really all connected. Everything's one anyway, so we'll find a connection someplace. But this is not obviously connected. So I want to just give I learn a lot of Hinduism in the bathroom, yeah? I've actually gone quite deep into Hinduism in the bathroom. Only in the bathroom. I don't read any secular thing outside the bathroom. And I'm reading a book right now that is, I actually ordered the book. I'm not even going to say what book it is because I don't want to recommend these things, but I ordered this book about three years ago from Amazon. And Amazon's usually very good. Like, how many times does Amazon mess up? Yeah, not often. After 3 months or something, I got an email from Amazon. Oh, sorry. We refunded your money. I forgot that I ordered the book. We refunded your money and the book's not available. Fine, forgot about it. And then when I was in India with my daughter six months ago, there's a bookshop there. Amazing prices, so cheap, with great books. I bought a few books and they had this book there. So I bought it. And it's like a 600 page book.
Oh my gosh.
And it's a conversation with his name is Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj, with all different people coming to meet him, yeah? And it's not holy at all. It's not Kaddish in any way whatsoever, and I got very clear simanim from the boy showing that I can't read this book on Shabbos in the toilet. So I don't...
Even on Shabbos in the toilet?
Well, I wouldn't read it outside the toilet anyway.
Right, but, in the
but even on Shabbos, the Rabbi Shalom gave me very clear simanim that it's not to be read on Shabbos, so I don't look at it on Shabbos. So it's not Kaddosh in any way, shape or form, but it's so high. This guy is so high. Unbelievable perceptions of reality. Mamash. Unbelievable. Mashalim. Unbelievable. But not Kaddosh. So I said like this, the unenlightened human would say, I am that. Yeah? That's the name of the book, by the way. The enlightened human would say, I am. Yeah? Know that. I'll try and explain this. The Yid, oh, Shmeichem. So. The Yid, I have to start again very quickly. The unenlightened human says, I am that. Yeah? The enlightened human says, I am. Without that. And the Yid says, I am yours. And then there's a Madrega higher, which just says, I. No yours, no mine, no his, no nothing. Yeah? So those are the Madregas. I am that.
This is me
understanding it, putting it into my okay. Extracting what
meaning
I
when
mean
you're saying me. I, you're speaking for yourself, and Hashem at the same
time. Well, I'll try and explain, We're gonna go a little thought experiment here, which should be quite exciting. So 99.9 reoccurring percent of the world says I am that. Basically everyone that you meet, yeah, says I am that. Maybe in our world there could be a few the ratio of I am thatters to anything else could be maybe less, but I don't know about that actually. Not sure. Maybe it's the opposite, I don't know. I am that means that I'm identified with this world, things of this world. I am would be the disidentification from the things of this world, where your sense of I doesn't get mixed up with stuff. which is very rare that you find somebody who is that. That person would be very easy to get along with. That person would be very difficult to upset. That person would be Machaya. And just to be with somebody who's not identified with anything would be very Machaya, generally. Then the Yid, we kind of take that for granted. That level of I am, it seems to me that Chazal just took that for granted. Like that we shouldn't be identified with this world. Yeah, that's what the Ummah Sa'olim is striving for, to come from I am that to I am. But we are striving to come from I am to I am yours. So what's that I am? If you're not identified with all the stuff of this world, yeah? So what's the I am? What is that? And that is what we're giving to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. So there's an analogy. Let's think of it like this, yeah? So you've got an empty room, okay? That, for all intents and purposes, is you. That's the I am. You're an empty room. The things in the room are thought forms. You have a table, you have chairs, you have a piano, whatever it is, yeah? That's all the thoughts that go through your mind. Now, see, you might want to make a difference between, like, stuff in the world and your thoughts. Yeah, but don't make that difference. The things in this world are your thoughts, or your thoughts are the things in this world. They're bound up with each other. It's the same thing. Whether something actually happened or you're imagining something, the way I understand it is literally like no different. Literally no different. Just as a side point, I heard Jordan Peterson say one time that some crazy thing like 90% or something of the kids he's dealt, or people he's dealt with who've had gone through crazy things in their with their parents and stuff like that, yeah? Like 90% of them was kimat all fiction. Like they get these things in their head from years ago, and before you know it, they're dealing with this monster that is just a complete phantom, like completely invented. Anyway, so the idea of something being real and something being a figment of the imagination.
So it's not to say that abuse doesn't exist, but rather that people build it up in their head to be something that wasn't just.
And also to say, I'm not an expert in any of this, Bichlal, but just quoting Jordan Peterson, the way I understand what he said, was, I mean, he's dealt with thousands of people. And he said, you'll meet people who've gone through things that you couldn't even imagine the things they've gone through. You couldn't go there, you couldn't imagine, yeah? And they've come out the other side as perfectly healthy, functional, emotionally stable, productive human beings, yeah? And he said he's met people as well who you would laugh. You would actually laugh if you heard what their issue is. And 50 years on, they're a complete disaster. And that's just something to think about.
That's because of their parents, Bishasi Bubam.
Maybe.
Imagine if the reason the Rishayim were going to cry was just now the Yitzhahar is shefted, the Mashiach.
Yeah. That what you just said, though, is not a heter for the mensch.
Somebody has so much more difficulty than somebody else processing those
yeah,
things.
Yeah, it is to do with your thinking, but that's why it's called a levush, because a levush you can take off and put on. So it's up to the mensch himself to do that. That's our work to do that. Anyway, that's a side point.
Is there no difference between this person who the experience of the person whose parents had tahar thoughts and the person who didn't have?
Yeah, for sure.
There's a difficulty. It's a koshi.
It's his avoidance. You said it's his parents' fault, so it's not really. Well, it's his
difficulty that he's having. This person can go through and come
but
out.
It's his peckle to deal with. It's his responsibility. It's his parents' fault, maybe, but it's his responsibility. That's you understand?
Right, but it's a result that why this person finds so much difficulty in such a little issue, and this person finds so much success in such a great issue.
But it's kind of irrelevant, because Hashem has lots of shluchim, and it's really meant to be like that. That person is meant to be dealing with that, and he did it this time through his parents.
And also, we're looking at it from the perspective of outside in, meaning, but we're not necessarily going through that challenge. The person who's seeing it, and we're basing, oh, this guy has this problem's not so hard, and look how great he's done, and the other one's saying, look, he's got no big problem at all, and he's a mess. That's all of our perspective.
Yeah, you can't, yeah, for sure. You can't judge anything. I'm just saying that what I'm trying to just try and bring to our attention is that our world is really our thoughts. It's really how we think about stuff. It's not so much what actually happens. It's really what goes on in here after it's happened.
See that within a person, and sometimes you'll go through things. Like, you'll have times where it's very easy to get over things that would have been much harder for you to do. Like, you know, you'll be in a certain state of mind, and it's much easier to get over something that seemed to be impossible. And before, when you weren't doing well, it was very difficult to get through something that was not such a big deal. Like, just getting out of bed was like, and you can, like, deal with some other stuff, you know, big problems.
Absolutely. So there's this room, and the things in the room are our thoughts. Yeah? Now, what happens is we end up forgetting that we're the room, and we end up becoming, means identifying with the things in the room. So instead of being the room, you're now the chair, or the piano, or whatever it is, the floor, most of us. Yeah, whatever it is. So what we need to do is to step back, so to speak, and disidentify, which in the words of Tanya is called Masir Das. Masir Das doesn't just mean to distract yourself, it means to actually disidentify from whatever thought form that is. That's a very, very important word. One of the most important words I think.
Disidentify.
What?
Disidentify.
Yeah, Masir Das. To be when Das is your koyach to identify. When we talk about an idea of falling into your Das, the Svarim Kadoshim speak about different ways of, you know, being Makash with Das. And I heard from a man one time the idea of things falling into the Das. Like, that really resonates with me. When an idea falls into your Das, yeah, now you've identified somewhat to that idea in varying degrees. Meaning that your sense of self and that thing, which is nearly always, not always, which is always a thought form, have now merged with each other.
The untethered soul.
That's what book about. There's a book called that.
Well, yeah.
He's talking about extracting yourself. Yeah, this is a very standard New Age or Hindu idea. But it's very, it's just taken for granted in our Svarim, in our tradition. It's just taken for granted, literally, because the world wasn't in such a state as it is now with all the stuff. In the old days, there was less danger of this identification. I mean, it's always existed, but not anyway. So now this is an important idea. We can understand that you've got a room, yeah, and in that room you've got a piano and table and chairs, yeah. Everybody's probably had this experience once in their life, at least, where they've realized that everything that they're seeing is actually some kind of projection in their mind. It looks like you're seeing something out there, yeah? But really what you're seeing is a picture in your head. Yeah, everyone's had that experience before. That's one of the feelings of why you have your breath taken away when you look at a massive, like, view or vista, because it's like subconsciously you're amazed at how such a big thing fits inside you.
Huh?
You can't see anything. What you're seeing is a picture in your mind.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
You just have to acknowledge that from time to time, I guess. But seeing the vista, I'm not impressed by a vista because I'm like, wow, how can this picture fit in my brain?
No, it's a subconscious thing can be. I'm saying when you see such a vast expanse and you're like. That feeling of the vastness is it's an inner feeling of vastness. You realize how vast you actually are. You're not space, you're not kashur to space. Mm-hmm. But let's take it a little further, yeah? Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? That what you're seeing is inside your mind. And it's not a chiddush then to go on and say what you're hearing is also inside of your mind, yeah? And also what you're smelling, and what you're tasting, and what you're feeling.
I mean, the difference between what you're hearing and what you're seeing is what you're hearing, the waves are actually going inside your mind to see them. With light, with the vision, what you're seeing, it's just the light that's going inside your brain.
So
it's a different,
I mean, the same with touching as well. It all turns into electrical impulses, and it's just everything
right,
you experience is in your mind.
Actually touch you. the sound waves actually
even the touching you is then the feeling it's still the khush of touch.
I understand, but it's different between Riyah, even though it may be inside of us, it's still remote from us. Because what we're seeing
you're talking about
is
the experience of it. I'm talking lemaisa. The metzias of it is everything that you're experiencing is in your mind. Everything.
Is there what's the string theory or quantum mechanics with that light? It only exists.
Yeah, look, I hear what you're saying. We'll touch on that maybe, but this is the point. Let's listen to this now.
Tangent of the tangent.
So if everything that you're experiencing is in your mind, yeah, which everyone is realized that's just pasha, yeah? What's with your goof?
Is my mind my goof?
What's with your goof? You experience your goof, yeah? How are you experiencing your goof? Through all your chushim. So where's your goof?
Your
goof is in your mind. Your mind is not in your goof. It's the exact opposite way around. What?
People who have an amputation and they have phantom pain.
Phantom pain, right.
Phantom pain. They'll have excruciating pain in the limb they lost.
Either way, the point is that all of your experience of everything in this world, that includes also your goof, is going on inside you. So you see, when you understand the world, yeah, you realize that you're not really, you're not walking from place to place. You just are. And everything's moving through your mind. You with me? Even your goof is a figment of your mind. Your goof. So to say that the soul exists in the goof is a concession. The truth is your goof exists within your soul, in your mind, however you want to say that. You with me? Yeah? So that is called becoming an aid. Ayin Dalet, a witness. That experience of disidentification, which includes your goof, and your emotions and your intellect and everything, and the table for sure, and your business and your social media network and everything, yeah? That's called becoming an aid. What does aidus mean?
Witness.
A witness, yeah? Aid is loshen da, backwards.
Yeah.
It's the undoing of das. That's what Aedis is. Aedis is, I've got no negia, no personal, I'm just seeing. That's what an aid is. An aid with a negia, which will be called, it fell into your dust, which means you've identified with the Inyan, is pasul. So the Inyan of Re'iyah is literally, you've separated from all of the things in the room, and now you're the room. Or let's say more accurately, you're the space in the room. You're the space in the room in which all the things, including your goof, exist. It's called the observer. That's called being the aid. You're just the moshu is the blank screen, or the screen with stuff going on. But this is, I think, in this is really a very special thing we're going to do in a moment, Shabbat Hashem, is that, so you're really, you're the space. The unmoving, you realize you're not moving anywhere then. Because all movement and all experience in this world is just going through you. So because we've gotten mixed up with our goof and our eyes and our seeing as we are, yeah, we're seeing this world as this place that we're walking through and we're going here and we're going there and all this stuff is all of these experiences. We're experiencing all these experiences, but when you realize it like this, is you're not moving anywhere. You're just a point of consciousness where everything is moving through. And you're the space within the room. And that's called being an aid. That's the level of I am. That's the level of I am, where you become really aware of this. and you realize what a machaya it is when you realize that all this stuff is just passing through you, as opposed to this is you, mamash. It's a different thing, like when you lose something, you tear your hair out and go nuts. That's because the guy was identified with it. When you lose something, you're like, come to the table. Okay. That's the difference. Yeah? When your wife says something insulting to you, and you're, how dare you, you're this and you're that, yeah? As opposed to, I hear. That's the difference between being identified with the things of this world, which is primarily what? Primarily with this thing we call ourself, which is the thoughts. To be identified with your car and your actual possessions, it's through your thoughts. That's already very, like, you know, that's like a prostamatsu. That's not for us. But to be identified with ourself, yeah, that really is very common, yeah? So what's the Indian, if that's I am, where we've disidentified, what's I am yours? I am yours is when you realize that that point of consciousness that is experiencing all of these things is not you. Or it belongs to the Rabbeinu Shloimeh. That's the better way of saying it. We're mamash in the parshas right now. What?
It is the Rabbeinu Shloimeh. For you.
Wait for the next stage. Is that the word Rabbeinu Shloimeh is a very complex term. There's many, many madrigas to that word. Yeah? So I am that is when we're identified with our thoughts, which is primarily the belief. That's primarily the belief. And it's just the thought, just like everything else that you're experiencing. The goof is also just like that. Exactly the same. There's no difference. No difference. I am is when you've managed to disassociate yourself from that. You've been Masir Das, and you are no longer identified with the things of this world, including your body. Yeah, that's a Madrega. That's called an enlightened human being. I am yours is when you can't call it that part of yourself. It's yourself, yeah, that witness, that aid belongs to a Bodhi Shalom. That's Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's why the Ayin and the Dalet are big. Yeah, we're giving that to the Rabbeinu Shloimeh. Yeah, and if you're able to give the aid to the Rabbeinu Shloimeh, then Kal Vachomer, you've given everything else. You've given the walls and the things in the room to the Creator. And that's where our avoider lies. The avoider of the Yid lies in that realm, the giving of the aidus, of the witnessing consciousness, giving that to the Rabbeinu Shloimeh. That's called Ein Od Mavadoi. Yeah? Whereas Paro said, Ani Va'afsi Oid. I am. And he said, Ani Asi Sisoni. I made myself. Yeah? I'm the Bala boss over this witnessing conscious, the part that just knows. That the essence of who I am that knows, that's me. We say no. The essence of that part that knows, yeah, that's for you. That's what we say. That's I am yours. And that's the whole avoid of being Mali, the whole... That's a tzaddik. That's a genuine tzaddik, where he is absolutely cognizant of the fact that he belongs to a Bona Shoda. Like we said before, like, with your printer, you know, like the absurdity of your printer developing its own agenda. It's just crazy. You'd throw it out the window immediately and buy a new one. Yeah? There's no difference. We were made by him. Koinea Koil. He owns us. We belong to him. It's like, it's just simple. Very, very simple.
Is that like the mashal? Why printers are so, like, printers are so finicky?
Could be. So now, there's the next Madrega. So if we can try and get to this place for a minute, yeah? And if it's helpful to close your eyes, maybe. That we're miyachid ourselves to this inyan of being the space in the... to being the space in the room. We are the space in which the things exist. We're not the things. We're the space in which the things exist. And just as a side point, if you want to, you know, if you ask any physicist how much stuff there is when you're looking at a solid object, he'll tell you it's something like 99.9. I think that's 13 nines and then a 6 percentage of empty space. That's how much actual physicality accounts for. Yeah, the space inside an atom is from what I learned. On a basic hydrogen atom, where you have a nucleus and you have an electron zipping around. Although it's not nowadays, they understand it in a more sophisticated way. But just it still helps for us to understand this. You have a neutron. You have a nucleus with an electron zipping around. Yeah, that's like you have one. You have a neutron and a proton. And then one electron spinning around, that's a hydrogen atom, yeah? You can, just to give you a feeling, stickle his braininess on what size that is if you take a one millimeter, yeah? 1 millimeter. For America, that's like, what, a half, an eighth of an inch? Anyway, you take a 1 millimeter, yeah? Which is like that. Take 1 millimeter, now divide that into 1,000, and that's called a micrometer. So you know when you buy aluminum foil for Pacer, it has like 180 microns or 80 microns, 151, like the heavy foil, that's a micrometer, meaning if it's 100 microns, that means it's a tenth of a millimeter. Yeah, it's 1,000 micrometers in a millimeter. Yeah. Now take one of those micrometers and now slice that into 1,000. Now you've got a nanometer. That's what a nanometer is. So there's 1,000,000 nanometers in a millimeter, yeah. Now take a nanometer. Now you could fit, apparently, so I've heard, I've never seen this myself. You could fit 5 hydrogen atoms stacked next to each other in a nanometer. So if you were to line up hydrogen atoms between a 1 millimeter in a 1 millimeter space, you would have 5 million atoms like holding hands, yeah?
Another way to see the space issue is that if you had a penny, the penny was the nucleus.
Wait, this is where we're going to go now. So this is the point. So this is the point. So you have, that's an atom, that's just how small an atom is, yeah? And we said an atom is you've got the nucleus in the middle and then you've got the electron zipping around, yeah? According to the old way of understanding it, but that's it will help for us. So I'm just seeing my physics friend cringing at what I'm saying now because it's so like babyish, but it's just to help us understand a little bit. It comes out that if you were to size up the nucleus to a grain of rice, not a penny, to a grain of rice, yeah, how far away would that electron be spinning around?
The top of the Empire State Building.
So if you, it basically takes 2 football pitches, 100-yard football pitches, and you put the rice in the middle, and then you draw a circle around with a 200-yard diameter. Yeah, that's the distance of the electron to the proton. So now, how much chomer, how much physical space is there? If the only physicality, if you can even call it that, is the grain of rice, and then the actual electron would be much, much smaller than a grain of rice, zipping around that space, what percentage, what ratio is the grain of rice to that 200-yard diameter? And it's something like, it would be 99.999999996, I think, if I remember correctly. It's like 9 nines and a 6 percentage empty space. So when you're actually looking at the things of this world, according to modern day physics, how I'm explaining it as an idiot, there's like no physicality anyway. So in the moshul of our room, where you're the space of the room, what are these things anyway inside you? They're just you anyway. You're just getting confused with an illusion of some kind of solidity, something solid, you with me? But really, it's just empty space, and you're the space of the room. So this is the next step. This is the fourth level, is I. So forget that I am yours, that's us, that's the Yiddish perspective, just the Nagoyish Avoida. So you've got I am that, then you are Masir Das from the that, and now you're just the I am, and you're just the space within the room. And then the walls dissolve. That's I. Meaning there's no room now. That's a moiridika thing to... That's a moiridika place to go to every now and again. Meaning the walls of the room that were your specific nakuda of consciousness, when the walls are removed, you realize that there are no specific nakudot of consciousness. That would be maybe called in Kabbalah the world of akudim, maybe, I don't know. That's a very good thing to think about. What's the...
No, it certainly makes all those problems much more minuscule.
Everything goes, but don't forget the avoider. Obviously, this is the difference between the avoider of the Hindus and our avoider, is that their avoider is just to get to that place that I just spoke about, the I am. But that for us is just a prerequisite for our avoider. Our avoider is the giving of that to the I don't know how to say that, to the personage of God, to the personality of God, which in Kabbalah we would call Ze'ampin. That's the avoider of the Yid, is to have a relationship with Atah. Atah is the difference between the relationship of the Goyim and the Yidden to Rabbeinu Shloim, because Atah, whenever we say Atah in all of Yiddishkeit, yeah, we are speaking to reality mamash, yeah, you'd call probably the Ein Sof, but through, it's even to say through is not correct, through Ze'ampin, this is not through. It's like when I'm talking to you, I'm talking to your body. I'm not talking to your body, I'm talking to you. I don't say I'm talking through your body to you. But if your body's not there, I can't talk to you. So how? That's the exact... How do you say that? I'm not talking...
Well, unless you take the walls down.
What?
Unless you take the walls down, then you can say hi.
I'm talking with you.
If there's no walls, if there's nothing really separating...
Well, then there's no one to talk to. Then I can't say utter. Okay. That's the point. That's called second person. Is creation is important. It's not something we're trying to get away from. It's something we're trying to bring back to him. We're trying to show that there's no... We're not trying to prove that it's an illusion. We're trying to prove that it's not an illusion. It's the exact opposite. We're trying to show that God and creation is one. That the mitzvahs are him. And the mitzvahs only exist in this world. That's the avoider of the Yid. It's a completely different avoider to everything else I know of. Completely different. You hear that? So that's through Derech Zah. That's through Ze'ampin. So, like I said, I don't know. You said with. You're talking with Hashem, who he really is. But it's, again, it's like I'm not talking to your goof. I'm talking to you. But I can't do that without the goof. So that in a sense is the room. That in a sense is the walls of the room. You with me? And that's what we're trying to give back to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Because the things in the room, they're not
props.
Yeah, they're not even really real, like in a sense. They're just, their purpose is there to be used for mitzvah. Like, they have no ontological independent, they're nothing. The only relevance of these things is that you can do mitzvahs with them. The only relevance of all of the things in this world is their relationship to a mitzvah. So what are they? What we're giving back when we say I am yours is that this point of consciousness that we are that is raising up all the things. So like we said before, yeah, every mitzvah is a coordinate in time, space, energy, and matter. We said this? We have said this. I'll say it again because it's very important. So you have every mitzvah, like for you know, to fill in, you have to put on at a certain time from say you know, whatever 4 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the evening. Right now, yeah, you have a place. You could say it's on your arm. You could also say you're not allowed to put them in a bathroom or a place a makom matuf. Then you have the chomer of the mitzvah, which is the black leather boxes with the parshias, etc. Yeah, then you have the koyach of the mitzvah, which is the yiddish energy, the yid, that's the yid, yeah? If any one of those things aren't on the mark, no mitzvah took place. So when we say, I did a mitzvah, that's really a very big concession. You become a chelik of the mitzvah. That's a much more accurate way of explaining it. You're not doing a mitzvah. You're an ingredient in the mitzvah. You're the energy. And your arm is the chomer, just like the parshias and the ore of the batim is also a piece of the chomer. Just like the time is also a chelik. And just like the makom is also a chelek.
But the time can't do it, the chomer can't do it, the yid can do it.
Only if he's got the time and the place and the chomer.
Right, but he's the one who can do it. He can have all the time, the chomer, but if he doesn't do it, the time's not going to do it for him, the chomer's not going to do it for him. The yid's the one who's going to do the mitzvah.
He's the poil of the, but he can't do it without the batim, he can't do it without the time. Meaning, you're right, you can look at, there's a lot of ways of understanding this, and we do say you do a mitzvah, yeah? Lasois. Is the idea of doing a mitzvah, but I'm just giving you a kind of meditation here. When you're involved in a mitzvah, is really, and the halacha is by the Alter Rebbe, that when you see someone doing a mitzvah, you have to stand up for them. Why? Because you're not seeing someone doing a mitzvah. You're seeing a portal open in Olam Hazeh, and Elokus pouring in. That is what you're seeing.
Wow.
That is a mitzvah. A mitzvah is a hiskalus of Ratzon Hashem, which is him himself, b'chvoid v'atzmoy. Yeah, or he's in the Ratzon Hashem, however you want to touch that. So when you do a mitzvah, these four points come together, and this world dissolves, and there's just a massive, like, you know, I always think of that film, the...
Stargate?
No, I don't know, I never saw that film. The Marvel film with the guy who does the
Strange.
There you go. Strange. Yeah, the guy who makes the holes in reality, yeah? That's what happens. You become a hole. You just become an aperture. That's Koich of Yaakov. That's the inyan of the star. You're just a point of light. What's a star? A star is a little piezer in the space-time fabric of reality of Olam Hazeh. It's a little piercing, a little aperture in this world that the Rabbeinu Shalom can flow through. In a certain form. You call that Oisius also. So we are, as Yidden, that's what we're here to do, is to hand all of that back to him. And that takes place in that Nakuda of consciousness. That's the room that we are. That's the empty room that we are. But if you let go of the room and you allow the walls to dissolve, which is a good thing to do every now and again, Mum, just sit there and go there and realize that you're not just a room that everything's flowing through. You are echad yachid and miyuchad with reality, mamash. Yeah, that is a very healthy meditation to do every now and again. But the point is that if you at that state, then there's no mitzvahs to be done. There's no room for everything to be in this. What is there? You with me?
No. What was this last?
If you let the walls dissolve, which is that the level beyond I am yours, yeah, that's I suppose the ultimate level that the Eastern traditions are trying to get to, where it's not even I am, it's beyond the I am, beyond the aid, yeah, beyond the silent witness they talk about, yeah, that's not interesting to us. Like, it's interesting to us, but that's not in any way something that we're, because
is
in
that even a, is that even a destination for a guy?
That's a good question, actually. I mean, they think so. So you're right. It isn't in the context of Malchus Shemayim and Yehuda Tatar. It isn't, yeah. But from the literature that I've read, the very very high Hindu literature, that is where we're trying to get to. To go beyond the I am to just I, where there is no I am. That's so you could probably call that a Taurus, according to what I understand. Whatever that's worth. So this is the inyan of the Adas of the Adas is the undoing of the Das. That's Kriya Shema. You're prepared to give up your life. Why? Because it's just an apparition in the, just like everything else, it's just an apparition. The minute you're, see, it's one thing not getting identified with the pen, yeah? Or with my Facebook account, yeah? But it's a much higher madrega to not be identified with the goof. Yeah? That's Mesiras Nefesh. That's why Shema is Mesiras Nefesh. The undoing of the Das means the disidentification with all of the things in this world, which the ultimate level of that would be the disidentification of your goof, would allow you to give your goof to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam.
So these stories, I once heard a story secondhand of the dentist of Rabbi Steinman. He didn't take any Novocaine or whatever for a root canal, and he was just sitting there like in his whatever, like, so he was just Mesiach Das from just his identity as a goof or something. It was just because it's really pain of your body that, like, I can think of, okay, people can insult me or embarrass me or this, but actually physical pain, if you're like putting me in physical pain, that's very hard to.
So did I tell you about this mushroom trip that I did? A year or so ago, I told this to you. It's on record. This is a very purposeful experiment that I did. So I wanted to. I haven't done anything like this for a long time. As a kid, I did a lot of drugs, but. For many years, I haven't done anything, and I wanted, with all the new stuff that I'd learned, I wanted to, and hearing there's a lot of like nouveau rabbis around now talking about, you know, psychedelics and etc. So I thought I'd have a look again. Yeah. So again, I did this very much with my wife's permission. I even told my oldest children, and it was a Friday morning. Yeah. So I got the chomer. However, I got the chomer. And the last time I'd done it, I remember having a terrible stomachache from mushrooms, yeah? So I followed the YouTube instructions of how to prepare a soup. Mahajan mina mahajan, yeah? And I did it with the lemon juice and the whole thing.
Lemon
and
tiki.
Lemon tiki. So whatever it is, yeah? And I did the whole thing. And I ordered, I got like, I think maybe 4 grams or something. So it's so explicit in these ideas, but I don't see any. I mean, it's asa. I think it's asa lefi the Medina, and whether it's asa lefi Torah is very like open. You can argue both ways. It's definitely not a Yiddish thing to do. But if it's mamash asa, there's definitely poskim that say it's asa, and I know poskim that say it's not asa, but don't do it. So either way, so I don't care about talking about this. So that's a kind of level of disidentification, the fact that the taboos of the world, and in a sense, like the things that we learn in the Gemara, like we learn things in the Gemara that, you know, make a lot of people blush very deeply, yeah, and we just learn them with a bunch of go, we're learning crazy, you know, crazy intimate things. That's a level of disidentification from this world. You know, when you're like giggling and smirking and like that, that means you're identified with these things as opposed to your, you know, society. So anyway, so I got this chomer, I made the soup, and I said a bracha on it at Shimon HaTzadik, after I davened Nades, and then I quickly got in my car, and I drove, it takes a while to get there, and I drove back, and by the time I got back to my house, I was grateful that I was back at my house, and I went into my office, I think I took off my tefillin. I definitely left my talus on. I'm pretty sure that I took off my tefillin, and I left my talus on, and I overdosed.
4 grams. That's a tremendous amount.
I overdosed, very like it was nuts. But I'm in a really good bookshelf. I'm in a good emotional psychological place. So I was laughing at myself. I would go down like this, and go through an insane experience and pick my head for like, it felt like, you know, half an hour, and I'd look at the clock and it was, you know, about 15 seconds had passed, you know, and I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, I had Sfiremap in front of me, they were just like going like this, like, you know, there was no ability to be cognizant in any way. So I closed the Sfiremap and I'm just sitting there thinking, wow, what a waste of time. And then it got deep and deep, and then I start like kind of marching with the, I feel it like this, imagine like a massive, like maggot, not like, but more than a maggot, like a queen ant. You know, you ever seen a queen ant? They look like a fat, juicy maggot, like a big, with a fat, like they're fat in the middle, and they, you know, with like the ripples on the side and like, you know, pulsating things, yeah? And like size it up, so it's huge. And imagine the smell and the whole visuals and the mud, and then turn that into music. Flip that visual into an audio. And that was the music I was listening to. Like,
oi.
What?
Oi.
Huh?
Oi.
Yeah, it was like, like, and I'm marching. At one point, I'm like underground, marching with the chevra, the underground chevra of all kinds of insects and massive insects, and we're marching together, and it's disgusting. It's like the most disgusting thing. It was horrible. And I'll get a moment of like, damn, this is what a waste of time. And you paid for this as well. You paid for this and you're wasting your time. What an absolute waste of time, you know? So I went through this insane experience. It couldn't have been, lafidati, it couldn't have been any more experiential. Every one of my senses was like maxed out, mummish. The visuals, the audio, the touching, the smell, everything was maxed out. It was like there was no more experience available, I felt. It was so intense. It's like turning the volume up on everything. To the point where I was like, by the end of the thing, I was pasha exhausted. Yeah? Pasha exhausted. And Bahashkacha just, I think I came up at around maybe like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, it was around then. And then I think at about 12:30, I was just about able to communicate with another human being, yeah? Just about. And at that point where I felt I was just about capable of communicating, my wife calls me up, how is it, how did it go? I'm like, what a waste of time, complete waste of time and money, I'm sorry about that, you know? Fine.
What was
it?
I missed the first
tripping
insurance.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, so
sounds
a
like
a complete waste of time and money. That's what I said to my wife. Yeah, and it took another hour, probably another couple of hours. I went back to my house. I ate. I was sitting with my kids. We ate. You know, I was already kind of down. And then it dawned on me. Yeah, and I realized I went to like the netherworld. Yeah, with the worms and the slugs and the mud and the hot, like imagine how it feels down there underneath the mushrooms, like hot, like in a peat, you know, hot and smelly and heavy and just earth,
moist.
Yeah?
Moist.
Yeah, exactly, moist and just wet and hot and just, ugh, you know? And max that up to the most you could experience, yeah? And I'm sitting there thinking, well, what about, if it wasn't like that? And it was the same experience, but it was in the clouds with the malachim and with the harps and the flutes and the sun and the breeze. It's just take out the cassette and put in a different cassette, same thing. Mamash the same thing. just different graphics.
Different subtitles.
You're just switching over, but it's all experience. So I had that experience. If things were different, maybe I would have had the experience that I just spoke about, an insanely intense experience of
right,
just
sure.
of the opposite Le Gamre.
What was the purpose? What was your goal in trying to do this?
Well, this was the point. This is what, I don't know why I really did it, but after realizing this is the whole point. So what's experience? You hear me? What we it's exactly the same thing. It's literally just different graphics. It's just a different HTML code. It's the same thing being pushed through different letters. I had a guy call me up. I had a guy email me from LA, actually, who he took DMT, yeah, in the form of the toad, yeah. I don't know if you're allowed.
I think if you're taking DMT, maybe you would have the clouds experience.
Or it could have been. I don't know. But he. I don't know if that's coach. I'm pretty sure that you. That would be an issa of
cashews.
An issa of cashews. Yeah, that would be us.
DMT.
What? DMT.
It's a secretion.
Well,
it's, I don't know if you lick it or you smoke. If you smoke it, I don't know. Whatever. Like, you can't eat a secretion of a trait animal.
Well, there's also a synthetic version of it.
Oh, so, okay. So I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's a question for the person.
Honey is a secretion.
Yeah, I hear.
That is unique.
Yeah, honey is a chiddush. Anyway, either way, that I definitely wouldn't. That's a different topic. Involving yourself with some kind of tray for animals is a completely different topic than eating a mushroom or taking acid or something like that. That has to be seriously researched. All of this should be seriously researched.
I never even thought about that when I did DMT. I never thought that it was a kosher.
It's a toad.
I think it's mainly synthetic.
No, I know that DMT can definitely be.
It can be,
but I'm saying the actual toad thing.
Right.
The peyote, like, with the toad. I don't know. Anyway, so I get this email from this guy who I knew kind of loosely, and he said to me, Shmuel, I did this thing like 3 weeks ago, yeah? And he described to me the experience that he had. And he said it was like an experience of a drop of water kind of hit him in the heart. And he just expanded into infinity, yeah, with divine light and all the, you know, the regular kind of stuff that you hear about, yeah? And he said after that, for 3 weeks, he couldn't say Kriya Shema properly for the tears. 3 weeks he couldn't go to, I don't know if he went to Shul anyway, but in his house he's saying Kriya Shema with so much tears that he could hardly say the words. He said, V'rahavta es Hashem Elokecha, just through a flood of tears. Imagine that, yeah? So you can have these experiences. I'm just trying to help us get over this idea of experience. Do you realize how we're looking, like this experience that I had that was so unpleasant? It could just be pleasant. You're just substituting the graphics, but the basis, the matzias of what it is the same thing.
That's what they chase.
It's all neural.
That's what they're chasing. They're chasing more and more of that possibility.
That's what you want, but the actual experience itself is like, what is that? Like, we talk about experiencing God. What does that mean?
It's just neurochemical.
Exactly. That's the point. So, but when experience becomes something very choshev to you, now you've got, you
it's
know...
It's the furniture. The neurochemicals is the furniture.
Exactly.
It's already distant.
It's so low down. This idea of experiencing God is so low down in the system where could you experience God? I don't even know what that, I don't know what that means, because I know that these chemicals do.
I am yours? Isn't that an experience?
That's like, let me ask you, what's the experience of your child? Tell me, describe the experience of your child.
It's like a stinky diaper.
You're 15 year old.
Very stinky.
What's the experience of that? There's no experience of that. You don't have an experience of your child. It's much too kadosh for experience. She's your child. You know what I'm saying? what's the experience? A lot of the time they're annoying. You don't want to be with them, or they're just asking for money or whatever it is, you know. Like a lot of the time, the experience isn't amazing. And sometimes you have nice, and sometimes you have nice experiences. It could be you have lots of nice experiences. That would be a lovely thing to do. But that isn't what it is. You hear me? You can't talk about it. It doesn't lend itself to articulation. It's too heilig for that. That's what it is with the Rabbeinu Shloimeh. We're looking for the experience. You're missing it. You're missing the whole point. What you're looking for is the giving of myself to you. What we're searching for is the avoider. That's what we're searching for. That's your experience with your child means that when you look at your child, you're just thinking, how can I help you? How can I add to your reality? That's the experience of a child. You with me? Not, can I get nachas from you? Yeah?
Giving versus receiving servitude.
It's the same thing. It's like, how can I add to your reality? You know, when I'm looking at my child, my whole question is, do you need chinuch right now? Do you need a shoulder right now? Do you need some money right now? Do you need some advice right now? Do you need me to shut up? Do you need me to get out of the room? Do you need a hug? Do you hear what I'm saying? What's the experience of that? It's a complete 180 to everything that I've always learned in Yiddishkeit. That's what we're looking to do, is how can I add to your reality, Rabbeinu Shloimeh? You made me. I mean, that just makes sense anyway, yeah? That's the extraction from the experience. What I was trying to say with the whole story of the mushrooms is, at the end of the day, what is the experience? It's just another thing of this world. Don't think you're going into Olamas Elyonim. It's just, like you said, it's physiological. It's physiological phenomena happening in this world. Going up in the Olamas, if you were to go into Atzilus, whatever that means, is you couldn't go into Atzilus because there's only oneness in Atzilus. So how could you go into Atzilus? You would be Nisbatel into that. Yeah, could you go up in Madregas through Yetzirah and Bria? You could, yeah? And that would lead to feelings of greater selflessness, less of me. With me?
But that experience is so wonderful. I think that
the what experience is so wonderful?
The selflessness. That experience is
that's not an experience.
Why do people like these psychedelic experiences?
It's not an experience.
But that the experience of this oneness, of this drop and the
that's an experience.
Because the I am yours should be, even though that's not why we're doing it at that point, but it should be immensely pleasurable. It should be immensely pleasurable.
Not on a way that we understand pleasure.
Fine, but we can always...
What I just said is not a fine. That's a big thing. We understand pleasure as some kind of...
reward?
No, we understand pleasure on a level of... there can't be pleasure without a self. Yeah, but we're talking about the pleasure of God. That's the Inyan of Misaneg al Hashem, which we said, where you become a keli for him.
But that probably feels really good.
No, that's not a feeling. This is the whole. This is exactly
but
what I'm trying to say to you.
Really good. Does
it's
it
not,
feel
not
good
a feeling.
Not? It's not a feeling, but whatever it is.
So go and carry on. If it's not a feeling,
is nice, is good.
You know what the word is?
What?
It's real.
Real.
That's very different.
And that's what people love about that thing. They feel so real. They feel like reality in a way they can't experience in their, you know. So
I'm telling you, that isn't reality. Reality.
So it may not be reality for you, really. You have this kind of way to jump, like to trigger your brain to feel that, but and just seeking that experience is not going to get it for you ever, because the seeking of the experience is just further self-centeredness.
The motivation, right.
But the totsa'ah of being in reality by I am yours.
That isn't the reality. So I'm trying to say to you, reality is not an experience. Just like your child, you're not something you can feel amazing things. We can feel very, feelings can be orgasmic, yeah? Feelings can feel amazing. But they feel amazing. This is a completely different thing we're talking about.
That's not the tapless to feel anything.
Well, of course, that's not the tap. But I'm trying to say to you that this is like: do you need to have these experiences, like you need to exercise, like you need to have good food, like you need to get enough sleep? Yes. Meaning they can keep you in a good place to have these experiences where they help you disidentify with the things in this world. That's fabulous. That is very good. As long as you don't start identifying with the experience. Yeah, so I'm saying there is a toelis, yeah? Just like there's a toelis to eating and there's a toelis to exercising. But that's not what Yiddishkeit is, Bichlal. Yiddishkeit is giving that, it's the opposite. That thing, that being that's looking for the experience, Yiddishkeit is giving that to God.
Me look for. And the more that we...
Yeah, that's called man, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You understand what I just said? It's the exact opposite.
Exactly the
space, the space that's looking for the experience, that's what you're describing. What I'm talking about is giving the space to God. It's opposite.
And then what's the result of that?
There's no result of that.
Well, what's the reality?
There's no result of you for that. There's no result for you for that. There's just reality.
It is.
And as you become more real, that means you become less.
So you are becoming more real, meaning you're becoming less.
Your identification with the room being your room is becoming less. And now you start to realize why we're here, which is not to have these experiences. It's to do mitzvahs. It's to learn Torah and do mitzvahs. And now all the pressure is off.
And that feels great.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. And that is a very, very small part of the whole equation. That's just like saying when somebody gives you $1 billion and you have to schlep it up the stairs, you also got a little bit healthy as well.
Are we supposed to like convince our animal soul that this is really good for us, that we should do this because it's really good for us, it's actually the best thing for us, and we should convince ourselves that this is the best thing for us?
There's a lot of literature that says that, and I personally think that in the months of the way, what
does the Tanya not tell us to say to tell our
the Torah
the Tanya.
The Tanya,
doesn't it say to co-opt your, to get your animals?
I mean, there's definitely a time and a place for that, for sure. There's a time and a place for that. I don't know if that's the default advice of the Tanya. There are times when you really need to do that. Mm-hmm. But we're in such a sophisticated situation right now where we are so sick of ourselves. We are so sick of ourselves. Everyone's sick of themselves. Everyone's overdosed on themselves. In the old days, you never even got to feel yourself or experience yourself because you're just so busy trying to make ends meet and bring the water from the well and do the washing and you know, right. bury the fourth child.
No one could think about experience.
There was no you. There was just, I need to live. There was no, now we're all sitting around with so much time and so much me. And we're like, when you learn that this world is not about you, you're like, thank God. Baruch Hashem. What you mean that this thing that I've been sitting here busting my head for the past 40 years trying to work out how I can fulfill this thing, yeah? It's not about fulfilling this thing. Ping! And it's like, it disappears. And now you actually have a chance of doing what you were created to do, which is Torah and Mitzvahs. So, does that feel good? Well, it's like taking off a pair of very tight shoes. You understand? It's not that you're doing something that feels good. It's you've you know what that's called? That's called leaving Mitzrayim and going into Eretz Yisrael. What's that? Eretz Mitzrayim. Eretz Mitzrayim. What's Mitzrayim? Is Meitzah. Meitzarim. It's the room. Mm-hmm. The boundaries of the room. Yeah, Eretz. What's Eretz? Loshen. Rotson. Yeah, it's my Rotson, which is me, is bound up in the room. Yeah. Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yashokel, Yashar, straight to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. And you're like, oh, wow, Hashem. Well, I'm here to build your house. Well, it's not about building my house. Well, my house is just a brick in your house. Oh, that's just so comforting. All the pressure's released. Now you can mamash be a mensch. It's just, you understand? Oh, you're not having these great experiences in Yiddishkeit? Okay.
But that's so much better. That's so much better, not needing experience, not looking after for experience. It's just, it's funny, it's paradoxical.
But yet,
we're looking for the, in our efforts to get the experience, which is just a selfish wish,
yeah,
to get good experiences.
Exactly.
And say, oh, well, it's connected to God.
We end up in Mitzrayim. That's called Mitzrayim.
Not liberated. But when we throw off that desire to get any good experience, to look out for my well-being, I then end up thrust into the most correct aligned way of life.
Yes.
Right.
Which is...
Don't say the next bit.
Okay.
Don't need to say that.
Why?
We're beyond. We don't need to say
okay.
that. You understand?
But somebody who still cares about that.
Say
that. Somebody who's still self-interested should know that if they were really self-interested, they would know that that's the right way to go. Because that is the best.
Well,
that's the best
that's
life.
That's just true.
It's
again,
the best.
You fell back into it. You fell back into it, saying that's the best
because
life.
Because he took Shalom Lishma.
It's just...
How can you... You can't start not being
that's not
Lo Lishma.
That is not a promise. We've been Lo Lishma for the past 5,785 years.
Lishma is
we're
there.
Ready now to enter into Lishma.
You
that's the point.
It doesn't
that's what I'm trying to say. We're no, Hashem has been working reality now to the point where we are ready to ascend from this trap of self. We really are as a metzius, as a species.
You're saying the same thing I'm saying. You're saying it's to get out of the negative experience.
No, I'm not.
No,
I'm
saying,
not.
Everyone's
saying
nauseous
it's
with their
I'm saying it's
and
correct.
So stopping nauseous.
I'm saying this is
and you'll
no,
be,
no.
You won't be nauseous anymore.
I'm saying it's correct. Just like your printer, who starts printing his own stuff, and you know every now and again you come, he's not there, he's gone to Tel Aviv, and you know you're like, what's going on? Yeah, that's just not right.
That's correct.
It's just not correct. That's not MS. That's really the eights of the Tanya. That's really the eights of the Tanya. Is it's just not true. You are a creation. He created you. You belong to him. Finished. Now it might be that you've been programmed for the past 40 years that you can't deal with that. So part of the giving yourself to him has to be the deprogramming, or that you need the experience, because just like you need to eat, if you don't have experience, you'll curl up in a ball and go nuts. So you need that experience. But again, it's in context of not that it's giving something to me, it's that it's giving to him.
That's right, but it's just with the it's the but it's to know before you embark on this journey. Why would I ever want to embark on this
journey? Okay, but we're on the journey now.
Okay.
We've embarked on the journey.
But
you're right.
But
if I was talking to a secular person,
ironically,
I probably
it's
would say
it's in a person's best self-interest. Ironically, it's because it's correct. Because it's correct, it's for a person's best self-interest. Their self-interest is if they are looking after the experiences, they will end up depressed. They will end up. It will be not fulfilling for them. Period. Life
so,
will not
if you want, if you want to say that, I personally don't see the benefit in saying like that. If you want to say it like that, you could say it like that. I hear. What I was going to add to that is that if you are able to let go of the experience thing, where you start taking Shulchan Aruch really seriously, and if you follow the halacha of Shachris, if you read up on the halachas of Shachris. I might make a few of you feel uncomfortable here, I'm sorry. Yeah? Is you shouldn't eat before davening. Yeah? You definitely shouldn't do any business or check your phone or look at any social media or any notifications. Nothing. If you cannot talk before davening, ashreichem. Yeah? If you read up what it says about davening, yeah? Not eating, not drinking a coffee with sugar. Yeah? If you need to drink a cup of coffee, you can have some water. Definitely not mezonos or any other food. Definitely not sweet food. Like, read up the halachas of tefillah, yeah, and start to take it seriously. Start to take the eitzes of the chachamim. What?
Yes.
Forget no.
And why would you do that?
Wait. Listen.
Why would
I haven't finished. I'm thinking. Wait. But the irony is, this is the irony. Yeah. Is that then Hashem starts to give you these wacky experiences? Yeah. But they don't bother you. They don't interest you. And you turn around to Hashem and say thank you, like if he was to give you some money. there again, because you become a vehicle that can raise that chalik of Olam Hazeh up, as opposed to when you want it for yourself, you're just dragging it down. You with me? So these experiences actually start like quite powerfully, and they can get really intense.
Because everybody deep down, if you would say, listen, you're really after a great experience, what if I could give you a pill that you don't care what experience happens to, you're happy? Well, that's obviously the best. That it doesn't matter what the experience is, that I am able to be happy and just amazingly happy regardless of the experience. That's the point. And so that's what we're saying. We're saying it's not about the experience. Once you stop caring about the experience, your life will be whatever, real, correct.
It's not real. You're saying the pill makes you not real, therefore you're happy, you're not real.
No, the pill is still, I'm not saying there's a real pill.
You've been saying about happiness, then you're happy, yeah? Your happiness is also not an end.
You're right,
your
simcha
is there to serve God with. It's all there to serve God with. It's the same thing. Running after experience is the same as running after kuba. Same thing. If you want to say, some people need kugel. You need to eat a nice churro. My kids need to eat churro on a Thursday night.
Somebody's want to run after experience to say, if you're really looking for the greatest experience, you need to nevater on experience and do this, and it'll be the best.
Whatever you want to say, I feel that's not great experience.
It's not helpful. Saying, if you really want a great experience, you're like, that's the great experience you're having.
I hear, but it's at the way. At the end of the day, we are trying to be using a very helpful answer in this whole thing. Is stop using the word I. Yeah, start referring to yourself as we. Yeah, not in a pompous guy with the way, but whenever you can use we instead of I, do that, yeah? Stop looking in the mirror. Yeah, never look in the mirror. That's also a very helpful answer. Yeah, whenever you see something needing doing in the house, do it. Yeah?
Can you example the we thing?
The we. Just say, I said when I came in, I said, we missed you last week. Yeah? I could have said, I missed you last week, but I could say we. If I did it, if I'm doing it, you know, if there's a context where it's only I, then it would sound maybe sound funny, but you'd be surprised. It usually doesn't sound funny. But if don't look at yourself in the mirror, yeah? And if you sat down with your food to eat and there's no ketchup on the table, yeah, then see what happens. See if you die by not getting up to the fridge and getting the ketchup. See if you die. See what happens. Yeah? Do you understand? So this is the point. You're kind of shooting yourself in the foot the way you're talking, because at the end of the day, you've still put yourself in the center of the universe. Whereas we should be speaking in ways, we should be acting in ways. When you see something, go into a public toilet. Yeah, I'm going to say something very not pleasant, but this is go into a public toilet and you see on the seat it's been soiled. Yeah, and you're just doing katanim. So you can do your thing and go out. Yeah. Take some toilet paper, clean it up. Imagine such a thing.
I don't want that experience.
What? See, again, if you get over experience, you just don't care. Those things, living your life in that way, remember when we said this idea about just taking one paper towel? It's not about taking one paper towel. It's about looking at life, just asking the question, how can I help? How can I be of service? That's it. And
it's practicing bittul.
Yeah.
On a daily basis.
On an hourly, on a minutely basis.
Self-serving.
Yeah. You look, in my house, there's a corridor with a big mirror. I mean, it's like a small, yeah, where you shall miss it. Not like an American big mirror. But you walk past, yeah. And I've got one kid who's like a really real Oyvid Hashem, yeah. He doesn't, yeah, and I don't. But I don't think I've ever seen somebody walk past that corridor without looking in the mirror.
And not look or look?
And not look.
Yeah.
Everybody looks in the mirror. Stop doing that. That's not helpful. In fact, it's the opposite. It's actually very damaging. I'm saying, and this gets granular. You can get, you know, it sounds OCD. Yeah? I've said this before. When you're walking down a street, don't walk in the middle of the road. Who are you in the middle of the sidewalk? Who are you to walk in the middle of the sidewalk? Walk to the side. Treat yourself like that. And you'll start... You hear what I'm saying? This isn't like...
And life will start getting better.
That was a joke. He was joking. That was a very funny joke. Just go ahead. Say that.
Yeah,
What, there's this muscle, there's this muscle. I don't remember where I had it, but somebody's on the way to see the Melech. On the way to see the Melech, he keeps getting bigger and bigger rewards. But to get to the Melech, I don't want the until finally you get to the Melech. But on the way, you have to.
I'm gonna
pass up on all the rewards.
I'm gonna say this story. This story is a story
like
that
the idea that the rewards are like the experience.
Right. And if you really know what the present is, then you will be the better on those little gifts in the business.
But I'm gonna carry on what you just said, and we'll finish. I will say this mushroom, and then we'll finish because this I love. This is Rav Manis explained it like this, and I'm gonna add. In my go, I'm gonna add a teen little bit on, but it's what you're saying. But it's a beautiful idea that the king opened his house. I said this here before.
No, let's see.
Anyway, a king opened up his palace for one day. Yeah, invites all the whole to come and visit him. Yeah, so everybody gets together from the kfarim and they start walking to the capital city. Yeah, as they get to the capital city, yeah, it's a whole mob of hundreds, thousands of people, and they just start looking at the architecture of the capital city, and they're just amazed by the grandeur of the buildings. And the architecture in this city, yeah, and many of them just kind of mesmerized by the architecture, just kind of, and there's a the rove of them keep walking, yeah. So they get to the gates of the palace. They've lost a bunch of people now, yeah. They get to the gates of the palace, and they walk. The gates are open, and they walk into the gardens, the royal gardens, and they're just. If you thought the architecture was unbelievable, yeah, the gardens were just with the fountains and all the colours and all of the smells and so many people were just completely mesmerised, and a whole bunch of people just end up, wandering off, yeah. And a core few people keep going, yeah, and they get really close now to the palace, and they've got the Philharmonic Orchestra playing there, yeah, and that's like it, people can't even move anymore, they're just. They never heard anything like this. A few core people keep going, yeah? And as they get through the orchestra, they get to the actual palace itself. And you've got all the ministers, these unbelievably impressive men and women standing there ministering. And people get caught up in conversations and there's two guys. Rav Manis said it, one guy, yeah? One simple man who walked through. Simple guy. He didn't notice the architecture. He didn't notice the gardens. He didn't notice the Philharmonic Orchestra. He didn't notice the ministers. And he just walked straight through and he came into the king's room and sat there with the king. So that was the moshel I heard from Rav Manis. I want to add a little point. I think Rav Manis would agree with this. If he ever hears this, I think he'd agree with this, yeah? There was two guys. There wasn't one guy. There was the simple guy who didn't notice everything, yeah? But then there was the very intelligent man who was Mamash Yosha, who walked through. And as he walked through, I'll tell you a little tip. When I took pictures at Chasnas, yeah, there was sometimes a need where you would have to take the Chasnan color during Hele Yichud, you take the pictures of Chasnan color, yeah? And most of the time, you'd be able to just duck out into the courtyard or something without any passing. Every now and again, the Hele Yichud would be in a certain place where you'd have to either go through the hall or go through a place where there'd be lots of people to get them to where you take the pictures, you know? So the eitzah that I developed over the years was don't not say hello to people, just don't stop moving. Don't stop. If you stop, that's it, you're done, yeah? If you just, like they say, hi, and you keep, hi, hi, and you keep walking, yeah, you can get through thousands of people like that, no problem, yeah? So in that sense, yeah, this guy, this intelligent guy, is walking through this capital city, and he's taking in the architecture, and he's wondered by it and amazed by it, yeah, but he doesn't stop walking, meaning he doesn't get identified with that. And then he doesn't get identified with the gardens, and he doesn't get identified with the orchestra. He's enjoying it, he's looking at it, he's seeing it, he's experiencing it, and he doesn't even stop to the ministers. He's like, hi, and walk straight through to the king, yeah? The difference between the simple guy and this guy is when the simple guy walks in to the king, he's like, hi, how you doing? I'm here.
Right.
When this guy walks in front of the king, he falls down on his face. Peace you're dying for a climb.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful mushroom. That's the world. That's the whole point of the world, is to see the wondrousness of this world. But it's not for you, Bichlal. None of it's for you. None of it is for you. None of it is for you. It's all for him. And then you can fill in the blank if you want to fill that blank in. But that's the end of the sentence. It's not about you. I'm a detail in his reality.
It's the simpleton in this story. It's humility that his head is down. He's not looking. He's just walking through.
Yeah,
he's not distracted.
I'm not sure.
He's not distracted by the.
You could say that, or you could say he's like very dogmatically just all he wants is the king. All he wants is the king. All he wants is
the king.
I don't know that.
Just the wise person also focused on the king. But he's taking it all in. So
he's got a little bit more,
he's more
of a mind.
He's,
and this is one of the things I've felt with certain Drachim in Yiddishkeit, where I've met very intelligent people who are in certain Drachim of Yiddishkeit that push this very posh kind of thing, and it becomes difficult for them after a while because they really want to engage their mind in it. And that's the chiddush, I think, of Chabad Chassidus, where you can really sink your mind into these ideas, and you'll find it actually leads to a much deeper bittul and a much deeper service. That's the truth. Okay, Bezrat Hashem. Shkoyach.